Go ahead and open up again to 1 Peter chapter 2. Did you notice at the end of this morning's service, it's like he come back to remind us about speaking. And that wasn't at all in my plan. And so I'm going, okay, that was right at the end of it. So he's not through talking about that yet, okay? So let me get your mind again kind of going in the direction of this morning's service. We talked about milk a lot. Milk is great. I like a big tall glass of milk. Milk is really good for babies. Babies of just about every kind of, cows and sheep and cats, and they all drink milk from their moms and humans. It's important. But that vision he gave me, it doesn't do any good to have a little baby and start putting bottles of milk all around it. You can gather up all these milk, full of milk, but if it never goes in the baby, it doesn't really do the baby any good, isn't that right? So this morning we were looking at that familiar verse that everybody, quotes all the time, desire the sincere milk of the word, and that's 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But then we looked over in Hebrews where it talks about, almost disparaging about milk. Like, well, you've become like people that need milk again. By this time, you ought to be on strong meat. What's wrong with you? And we found out the problem with, the milk is fine. The milk of the word, thank God for the milk of the word. But in Hebrews, they get a little more detail, and it says, no, it is by reason of use. Use of what? Use of the milk of the word. You have to not only hear the word. Hearing the word is like gathering your bottles of milk around you. You hear it. But it doesn't really become part of you. It doesn't start nourishing your bones. It doesn't start growing you up until you begin to drink it. I believe the title that we put on this morning's message was Put the Milk to Use. See, isn't that right? Angie came up with that. Had a girl. But put the milk to use. And that's really, if you leave it in the context, we came back to 1 Peter here. In the context, he's not talking about attend another conference, although we believe in attending conferences. He's not really talking about dive into your Bible. Most of those people didn't even have a Bible. But although we're all for that, studied to show thyself approved and so forth, amen, what's he talking about? He's talking about putting the word to use. So let's leave it in the context. We backed up just one verse. I mean, it'll take you a while to get all this milk done. How about this one? Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Malice. You look it up, it means malice. It means evil that you have in your heart towards another person. Even if it's justified. In other words, they did you really wrong. And we're not saying they didn't. How many of you know Jesus died for them too? Amen. See? You got to get rid of malice. All guile, that's deceit of any kind. And hypocrisies. And again, Nathan did a message, sometime in the last month, and it was pretty rough, Jim Martin says at the conference, he says, in Tulsa, they have a Nathan. They have a Nathan Varble. Every now and then they let him loose. Like the implication is the rest of the time we keep him chained up somewhere, But Nathan did one, and it was pretty tough, about obedience and getting rid of hypocrisy. And I texted him after the service, and I said, that's the mind of Christ right now for the prayer center. The path is narrowing even more. And even areas where you've been walking that were acceptable, they're not acceptable anymore. And hypocrisies in one person is different from hypocrisies in another. Disobedience in one person is different than disobedience in another, see? So anyway, hypocrisies, envies, that's where you're, jealous of something somebody else has. But this last one, and all evil speakings. Now, what I was doing right there, I was looking it up in the Greek. This particular rendering of that, the Greek words, this is not so much talking about negative confession. This is talking about you speaking evil about somebody else. Well, that Mike from Minnesota, he's always got to sit on the front row. Who does he think he is, you know? He should come back here and sit with the rest. Or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's got to stop. I used to use this, I started to say trick. It's a technique. That's better than trick. I used to use this technique a lot. I don't have to use it much anymore because people have learned and they don't come to me with gossip. They really don't. They did. When I first came all those years ago, oh, yeah, they thought I was going to be their gossip buddy. And they'd come and they'd say, you know, and it usually comes in the form of, I need you to agree in prayer with me. I'm going to use Mike again because he's my friend. I'm going to, you know, we need to pray about Mike. You know, he's, I'll just pick something. He's always wearing blue shirts. Don't you know blue shirts are not holy? What am I wearing? Oh, okay, black is good. I'm just trying to pick something. But they're trying to get me to join in some kind of gossip. Now, picking something silly. Could be something serious. Okay? And I didn't come up with this, but I heard it from another preacher. It works like crazy. When you see what the direction they're going, and they're going to talk evil about Mike, or they're going to talk evil about whatever, whoever. And this works. You just say, I am so glad you've got Mike on your heart. I'm telling you, why don't we just pray for Mike right now? And since you've got Mike on your heart, you go ahead and lead. Go ahead. I'm telling you, that will shut it down quicker than anything you've ever seen. And eventually they even quit coming to me. I don't even remember the last time somebody come to share any gossip with me. Because they know what's going to happen. But that really does work. But then you got to watch it in your own life. I'm talking spouses. I'm talking friends. I'm talking, you know. We look at it all evil speakings. And this one is primarily talking about evil speaking against somebody else. Okay? Now, let's back up in a little more in context, you know. Let's go all the way back to verse 13 where we went this morning. He's certainly not talking about go to what you need is more. The way we normally interpret that, what you need is more word. What he's really saying, what you need is to apply the word you already have. Desire the sincere milk. Don't just hear it, but actually become a doer of it. And that's how you grow thereby. You don't really grow otherwise. So get this morning's message on that part. But he's talking about putting it into use so that we change. And you can see that here in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children. Remember, I told Nathan two things. Getting rid of hypocrisy and getting rid of disobedience. There's many areas in my life where I could talk about my obedience, and I like talking about that. Even if it's partial obedience. I obeyed him not to sell anything. That was a war. At the time that we made that decision, everybody was selling everything, for the most part. I remember in those days, we went to, you know, now you can go to websites. I'm not saying we pioneered this or anything. It's just this is what God was doing in the body. But back when we started, you couldn't go anywhere and download MP3s for free. Y'all don't even remember that now, do you? It's been so long. But back then you couldn't. It's, you know, $3 or $5 every time you wanted to do one. Everybody was selling their CDs. And well, at first it was cassette tapes. But we obeyed him on that. I've obeyed him on other things. I obeyed him on the smoking. I obeyed him on this. I obeyed him on that. Well, Gary, then you've 100% obeyed the Lord. No. I could talk about my partial obedience. I could get more worse and go talk about my disobedience. I'd rather talk about your disobedience. Now, the point I'm saying is this. Individually, you see, and the area where he's dealing with me on something may not have any, you may not have anything in that area whatsoever. Just not whatsoever. One person likes to watch TV, another person likes to go golfing. But they can both become idols. Isn't that true? You know, anything can become an idol if it starts. Here we are back to that vision this morning where you and our goal is to line up perfectly with the Holy Ghost. Be led by the Holy Spirit. When the cloud moves, we move with the cloud, right? We don't want to love anything more than moving with Him. You see? So if golf, I can't leave. I can't go to another. I can't follow you to another state and do that. I would have to leave my golf buddies. Well, that's an idol. I can't pray in the evenings. I'd miss NCIS or whatever it is. Well, if that's really the case, that's become an idol. It's not necessarily saying it's wicked or anything, but anything that becomes an idol. See, in the context, even your family can become an idol. If you don't love Him more than you love your own family. Your own life, if you don't love Him more than your own life. Anyway, that's this morning's. Isn't it amazing to you that the church just isn't full with messages like this? It'll be full one of these days. You watch. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Boy, now this is a tough one here. But as He which hath called you is holy. In other words, He's your pattern. So be you holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. That was absolutely impossible in the old covenant. If anybody could do that, Jesus didn't need to die. But nobody could do it. God, by His grace, had to, can I say, kill you? You had to die in Christ. You had to be recreated as a whole new creature. He had to put a whole new life on the inside of you, which is the very life of Christ, the same life that raised Him from the dead. So that now, if you want to, we can live holy. We can be holy the same way. Now, we're not talking about righteousness. Righteousness is free. I like how the first time I heard Alan say it. Righteousness is God's gift to man, and it's a gift paid for by the blood of Jesus. Amen? But holiness, that is our gift back to God. That is your love response back to the righteousness He gave you. What was impossible in the old covenant is possible in the new. And we can live holy now by God's grace. No other way. Okay? Now, this continues throughout 1 Peter. Come on over to chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Then we're going to specifically talk about speaking here in a minute. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. What does that mean? You're not of this world. We are an invading force from heaven. The life that's in you did not originate from Adam. We ought to close the blind, close the doors and pull the drapes and be like secretive, because these meetings are for aliens only. And you are. You're strangers, pilgrims. But since we are that, and we are holy creatures living in fallen flesh, He says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. See, now your body is of this world, and it loves the things of the world. My body still, if I let it, it would love to get high tonight. It'd like to get high. I mean, if I let my body, we can stop by the liquor store, get some sipping whiskey and get a pack of Pall Malls and I don't know, whatever. Go, Angie's, that's my daddy. But I'm just saying, my body would think, finally, you have wised up and you're doing the things that I like. See, there's that war. It has no moral compass at all. My flesh does not care if I cheat on Sue. Not at all. It thinks that, well, that'd be a great idea. How many women can we get? Nowadays, how many men or women or men? I mean, Angie's not saying a word now. Daddy's done gone off the edge. Daddy ran off the cliff now. You're on your own. I'm just trying to make a point. Your flesh did not get saved. It has to be bridled. It has to be trained. It has to be brought in like a bucking bronco. But it can be trained. It can be trained. I remember the days when my I talked this morning about when I quit smoking. Man, that was a long time. It was tough, you know. I was like Norval. I remember hearing Norval when he quit. He says, man, at first, my body still loved that smoking so much. I hadn't had one in a week, you know, and I'm walking down the sidewalk and somebody's walking past me and they're smoking. I wanted to turn around and follow them. I remember when I was like that. But see, now it's been so many years. Oh, it is so disgusting. Even my flesh has been trained at this point not to want it. But I could train that rascal again. I had to train it the first time. First time I ever lit up a cigarette. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was 14 years old, out in the behind the barn. We literally had a big old red barn. I stole two L&M cigarettes. Yeah, L&Ms. Out of my mama's purse. My mama smoked them. And I was determined I'm going to smoke them things. I went up behind the barn. I lit that first one. First time I inhaled, I got dizzy. I felt like I was going to throw up. My body was saying, no, 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 this is not something that we do. But bless God, I was determined. And I powered through. And I smoked a second one, you know. My body, I had to be trained to like it. Now, on nicotine, they tell me that drugs today are so powerful you can get hooked with the very first time you use it. So I don't know. I'm glad I've never tried any of those. But boy, then I had to untrain it. And I'm telling you, the price that was paid on, I don't ever want to pay that again. See, it's too high. The point is, your flesh did not get saved. Quit feeling guilty because you get tempted. Your flesh is not of God. Your flesh is of this world. You are not of this world. And that's why Galatians 5 talks about that war between your reborn spirit and that body that you're wearing. These two are the contrary, the one to the other. The flesh wants anything that makes it feel good, but your spirit man only wants righteousness and holiness. Well, there's a war. We're growing up. This theme, so he says, abstain from fleshly lusts. That war against the soul. Let's go on just a little bit more. Look at this one. Come over to chapter 3. The verse I'm after particularly is verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, I want that, well, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Isn't it odd how often this tongue thing comes up? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. He's talking about the words that you say. And let him eschew evil. That means stay away from it. And do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. But that's at verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days. Well, what's your first counsel? Watch your mouth. Be careful with your words. Don't be letting your tongue speak evil. And don't be letting your tongue speak guile. Now, go back up one book into James, chapter 1. And I've been teaching at length on this. In this section where he's talking about overcoming the temptation to sin. And how the process he's describing here is how we as believers walk above sin or sin free. And it's exactly the same way that Jesus did it for 30 years before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And verse 21 is the key. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, in plain language, the sin that you're still doing. Okay? The residue left over. You might have got rid of a lot of stuff. But we're talking about obedience and getting rid of hypocrisy. And for each person, if the Lord was to walk through the wall, you would be, I'm not looking at anyone for any particular reason, if he walked right up to you, you would not do to say, I didn't know that was sin. Yeah, you did too. He's been dealing with you about it. You swept it under the rug a long time ago. It's still under the rug. But he's pulling everything out from under the rug in this season we're going into. Lay apart all the sin that you're still doing. Well, how do I do that? Receive with meekness the word that he engraved in your mind and in your heart when you got born again. That's the new nature. You let the new nature be your guide. And every time you're tempted to sin, that new nature will speak up from the inside. And if you'll, well, it's not words. How do you describe that? Everyone knows how the conscience works. When you're about to lie, you don't hear the words in Charlton Heston's voice. Thou shalt not lie. You don't hear that, but boy, it communicates. It's clear as a bell, too, isn't it? You know what it's saying. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. And if you follow that regarding every temptation, then you walk above sin. That's exactly how Jesus did it. He was wearing a fallen body just like ours. He had the same life on the inside of him. He walked in that light of life the same way we walk in the light of life. You just choose life every time. If you do sin, then thank God for 1 John 1:9. You confess it before him, he'll cleanse you. He'll forgive you and cleanse you from all righteousness. And if he told Peter to forgive 70 times 7 in a day, you may have to go that often to the blood at first. But eventually, you should be able to get cleansed of it, see, where you walk free. Now, we've taught on that at length. Come on down, though, to verse 26. It's just amazing that in this passage, just like over in Peter's, he couldn't finish it without talking about the words, not speaking evil. Now look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. This will never make sense to you unless you leave it in the full context of chapter 1 of the book of James. He is talking about looking in the mirror, and the only real mirror for you. And that's that Christ mirror from 2 Corinthians 3:18. Here he talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty. When you look into that mirror and you behold the glory of the Lord. Now, amazing. It's a mirror. It's you looking. Your reflection from God's point of view is Christ. You see? Do you understand that? And you're going, I'm not like that at all. God says, yes, you are. That's the real you in your spirit. That's the image that I put in you. That is the Ephesians 4 guy that when you got born again in God's image, it says, after God, you were created in righteousness and true holiness. The real you looks just like Christ. I'm not saying physically, but I'm saying in every way, you are righteous, you are holy, you are God's child, you have an inheritance, on and on and on. And you go, well, boy, the only place I see that is looking into the Word, is looking into the gospel. Because if I look any other way and look at me, I'm 10,000 miles short of that image. But the glory of it is, as we continue to behold Him, we are changed. If my Bible didn't say this, I'd never believe it. We are changed into that same image. Christ is not going to change. The gospel is not going to change. The mirror is not going to change. But we change as long as we keep beholding that mirror. But there's a key to it. And that's why it's in this right here. In that context, if the change is really going to happen, you're going to have to bridle your tongue. Now, again, this passage right here, he's talking about overcoming sin. Isn't that not right? Isn't that not right? How many negatives is that? Isn't that right? We backed up. The first time I taught on this, he's talking about every man's tempted when he's tempted and drawn away of his own lust. And he's talking about overcoming sin. And now, in the context, okay, let's say you look in the mirror. I want to go back to smoking. Back during the time I was smoking, Gary looks in the mirror. Jesus does not smoke. Jesus is not addicted to anything. Okay? The real Gary isn't either. Puff, puff. If I go look at Gary in the natural mirror, if I go look at Gary in the natural mirror, I'm going to see nicotine-stained fingers at that time. Brad one time came to the ugly building. My ugly building days, I was smoking like a freight train then. And it'd get cold, I had to close the door. It wasn't very big. I think it was a 10 by 12 building. Concrete. Brad comes over one time and he opens that door. That wasn't the Shekinah glory cloud coming. It was so heavy he got woozy for a minute. That wasn't the anointing either. Anyway. How many of you are thankful for God's long suffering with us? You know, long suffering with us. You can't change the mirror, the gospel mirror. When I look back in there, Gary's a non-smoker because Jesus is a non-smoker. But in the natural, I didn't know this secret. I didn't know this. Now, this is not a secret. It's right here. I didn't know this truth. I would say all the time, I can't quit smoking. I would say I like smoking. I would say I've been smoking all these years. I did not bridle my tongue. And it says right here, if you don't learn to do that, it's powerless. You're not going to change. The first step, now not the only step, but the first step to change where you start lining up with the mirror is the tongue. My daddy was right. When it's too hard for everybody else, it's just right for you. But that's the same for each of us. Because he put his spirit on the inside of us. See, God's creative method does not change. How did he create everything? How did he create all that? With words. Did he not do it with words? He spoke everything into existence. Now, you little made in the image of God person, you, in your life, your words create your future. Now, there's the title. Your words create your future. And if you don't start speaking in line with what you see in that mirror, this would be a person that's got all kinds of symptoms of cancer or anything else. Step one. By his stripes, I was healed. Now, I'm not saying throw away medicine or don't take chemo or whatever, but I'm saying step one, bridle your tongue. And that means all the time, not just in church. In fact, during the times when he's had us going through a real creative process, remember that time he had me take those verses and speak them out loud 4 hours a day? Well, what's the point of that? Was I changing God? No. Was I moving God? No. I was moving Gary. And I'm embarrassed that my soul was so trained in the wrong direction. It took that much confession to get me finally to line up with what he said. See? But if any man among you seem to be religious, you might go to church, you might give your money, you might pray, you might sing, you might worship. Yeah, but I want to change. The context in chapter 1 is I want to change. I want to stop sinning more. I want to be more obedient. I want to get rid of every hypocrisy. Well, the first thing you're going to have to change is your mouth. Stop saying I can't. I said it all the time back then. I can't stop. I can't quit smoking. On the positive side, I'd say I like smoking. It relaxes me. It this, it that. My mama, I had so many excuses. My mama smoked, my daddy smoked, my grandpa smoked. I did not understand. But now, he doesn't quit teaching on this. Go over to chapter 3. He kind of introduced it there, and then he talked about a few other things. But he picks it up real strong again in chapter 3. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters," that means teachers, "knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." Now, it is so amazing, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit writing through or speaking through James here, because it starts off with a horse and it ends up with a ship. Look at this. "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body." Let's go ahead and read it first, and I'll come back. "Behold also the ships." He's not talking a canoe. "Look, which though they be so great," he's talking about a big ship. I have I've got the Queen Mary, and you know, a big ship. "And are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." In other words, wherever the governor wants it to go. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, that's back. That's good enough for now. Come back up here to the horse's mouths. A horse normally has one rider. He starts off talking about your body. And we're talking about getting rid of disobedience and hypocrisies. Things that we've been allowing. Residue of wickedness. Things that you know, if he walked through the door, you and him had a talk, they'd have to go. How are you going to get your body to change? By effort? 12-step program? I'm not against any of that, really. I'm just saying the Word of God says the step number one, you turn your body with your mouth. You turn, isn't that what it says? You turn your body with your mouth. In my case, well, it's not just that. The first two words that have to leave your vocabulary is I can't. I can't quit smoking. I can't quit overeating. I can't stop watching my soap operas. I can't. Do they still have those? Okay. I can't. If somebody's on drugs, I can't stop drugs. Well, you can too. Because you've got a supernatural power on the inside of you. Step number one, bridle your tongue. Say what God says. In that mirror, what you see is what you say. If Jesus didn't smoke, Gary doesn't smoke. And you do it while you're still smoking. You hear me? Abraham, God changed his name when they had no child. He had to start saying about himself, I am the father of a multitude, when him and Sarah together had no child. But he had to say it anyway. You don't wait. You start right now. And I don't care what it is. Okay, I don't want to use me. I still would like to shed about 20 more pounds. I've got quite a bit off. Went to a wedding yesterday. There's a few back on. But anyway, the cake was so good. Anyway. Anyway, I can't be saying, well, I just can't lose this other 20 pounds. I just can't get it off. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Yeah, I can. I can't be saying, well, I just, you know, I can't stop snacking. Yeah, I can. That starts with the tongue. I'm going to say it again. God's creative power, the way he created everything, was with words. If you want his power working in your life to create a new future, you're going to be using words too. And it starts, you start with the tongue. Again, going back to healing. I don't care what it is. By his stripes, I was healed. And you praise and worship him. And if somebody asks you, well, how's it going? Well, it's going great because I'm healed. You know? Now, with your doctor, you have to tell them, you know, you have to tell them the natural stuff. But everybody else, you get the word. You get the word. When our children, and Angie always says, I rebelled the least. When our three daughters were in rebellion, they were all three in rebellion at the same time. I always say, pray for anybody that has three teenage girls at the same time, or boys. But anyway, Angie says, I rebelled the least. And, whoa, we knew what they were doing. We knew they were out drinking and doing stuff they shouldn't be doing and going with boys they shouldn't be going with and all kinds of stuff. We didn't know details, thank God. Found out some later. Wish I didn't know. But anyway, the Lord, he took us to that those two verses back in Isaiah where the Lord says, I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. And I will save thy children. Boy, somehow that verse hooked us. And we knew that was our verse. We started walking on the floor and say, you contend with that devil? You're contending with him that contends with us? We call our children saved. We call them delivered. We would take verses like, our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They serve God and him only. They hear God and follow God. And at the time, we knew they were in the bars and doing God knows what all. That didn't matter. We bridled our tongue. And it wasn't just during confession time. I got to get that part really over to you. It's not just during your, quote, confession time. It's all the time. We'd come to church and, you know, or somebody, some friend would come over. Well, how are the kids? And they might even know what's going on. It was like we were programmed after just real quick. Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. Our daughters are saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. They cast out devils. They lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Our daughters prophesy. They speak the word of God. They're witnesses to the risen Christ everywhere they go. However long they'd stand there, we just keep talking. You know, just keep talking. And all three of them came to their senses. All three of them came to the Lord. All three of them has worked for us at various times in the ministry. Hallelujah. Have what you say. Amen. But it starts with the tongue. But now, first off, I'm talking about turning your own body. Because right now we're in this season of any residue of disobedience. Oh, my man. How much does He love you guys? I have to always be so transparent. He wants me to fast more. My body does not like fasting at all. But I like Him. So I'm going to have to fast more. Look at Angie over there. I knew it. Over there. Get him, God. Get him. Anyway. And I've been dragging my feet. I've done really quite a bit this year, but see, if he walked through the wall, I couldn't say I don't know. I do know. For me, he wants me to fast more. I'd be lying, and he'd know I'd be lying to say otherwise. Well, Gary, you going to do that? Yes. Some real weak little start with the tongue. Yes. But I need to get more bold with that. What I need to do is start saying, I love fasting. I used to think people were weird that said that, you know. But really, my spirit does. Because it helps keeps my spirit in dominion over the flesh. It helps it. The real me goes, oh, God, thank God we're fasting. I have trouble finding that guy when I am fasting. Where did you go? I got to quit saying that too. But with me, that's one of the areas. Now see, we've come a long way, darling. From the bar days and the pornography days and the money days when my whole life was serving money. Oh, you mean your big issue now is he wants you to fast another day or something? Boy, that's quite a journey from where you started. Well, we don't know yet the journey we've got to go. All I know is the path is getting narrower. And I do know it. He's real serious about this with the tongue. See, because first you change you. That's the horse. You can change anything about your... Charles Capps used to teach this. And then I put it into practice. I saw it happen in my own life. He used to teach this. He said, if you got blood pressure that you don't like, take your medicine, but take your God medicine. He liked to call it, his name was Caps. He liked to call them capsules. How many remember the little white book, the first one, God's Creative Power? And then he came out with one that's a little bit kind of greenish, and that was on healing. You just don't know the hours. That I have walked the floor and confessed those verses, speaking the life of God into my body and my blood. See, high blood pressure runs in my family. My mama's been on high blood pressure medicine half of her life, and her siblings all suffered with high blood pressure. I used to suffer with it until I got my capsules. And I didn't do anything medicine-wise. I just took my capsules 3 times a day like any other medicine. I would take it. My blood pressure is really good. 71 years old. It's pretty good. Most days it's like a teenager. Charles Capps says, if you want 120 over 80, start telling your body to say out loud, my blood pressure is 120 over 80. Now also, if the Holy Spirit says stop eating 6 pizzas a day, what I'm saying is if he gives you instruction, I think you might want to obey that, you know. But it starts with the tongue. Speed it up. Now, once you learn how to do that, you can see a horse. There's usually just dealing with one person, a horse or one person, but a ship. And he's talking about a big ship. Now, this starts with your family. This is your family. And how I got that is Noah, if you want to know the truth of it. I said, what? Why do you give me something from the word? And immediately I saw, did God ever say Noah's wife was righteous? He did not. Y'all ever read about the descendants of his children? Pretty wicked things came out of them. Yet they were all in Noah's boat. And they all wound up saved from the flood. Keep your family in your boat. How would I do that? Watch what you say. Speak God's word over your family. Calling in the lost, it's really its primary function when Dave first had to start doing this all those years ago. Remember, we would bring, we'd write down our lost family members primarily. If you had a lost aunt, a lost cousin, we would write their names. We would put them in the box. We would go to God and we start making intercession for them and say, Father, from this day forward, we receive them into your kingdom and we call them saved. We call them filled with the Holy Ghost. And we would on purpose speak over them. Keep them the same way that we spoke over our three daughters. We kept them in our boat. And we did it by what we said. Can you see this? Look. Verse 3. We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us and turn about their whole body. But also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds. I'm telling you, during that time of our three daughters, the winds were fierce. Y'all remember my youngest one, which I love and dearly, but she never gets on to me for telling this. See, people say, oh, you had trouble with your teenage daughters. Mm-hmm. Lolly-da, don't we all? Well, that one was arrested by the FBI in Mobile, Alabama, on interstate transportation. See, you can tell my story better than me. You've heard it so many times. Interstate transportation of stolen firearms. That's not like drinking beer in the bathroom at the school. I mean, I'm telling you, the winds were fierce. And she was pregnant, and she was facing 12 years in prison. Think about your grandchild being born in prison. Think about that. Thank God he delivered all of that. That's a law. She did not go to prison, and the baby, it's our grandchild, is wonderful. But we had to keep those three girls in our boat. The winds were fierce. Every emotion, everything wanted to, like you, when you're in pain, you want to share your pain. You want to talk about your problems. No, you keep them in your boat, and you do it by putting a bridle on your tongue. And you only say what God says about them. As you do that, you can turn not just your life now. You can turn the life of your loved ones. They'll wind up on the other side. Amen? Amen. All right. I think that's it for tonight. Nope, let's go ahead, because somebody's going to read this after you go home, and these next verses are going to take you out unless you understand what they mean. So look at verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body. Now he's talking about when you use it wrong. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. You know that's true in the world. Everything is spoken evil and terrible, and my back is killing me, and those kids are all crazy, and on and on and on, but for every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now why is it back here? He said if you don't bridle your tongue, your religion is powerless. Now he's saying no man can tame it. Well, which is it? You can't do it by self-effort, but you can bridle your tongue with the Word of God. Now, that's what he's talking about. This is your bridle right here. If God said it, you say it. You're his child. You create your future with his words in your mouth. You create it. So I want God to create it. You create it. You're a chip off the old block. You function the way he functions. You speak it. What he says is what you say. And you can change your future. You can't tame it by self-effort, but you can tame it with the Word of God. You bridle it with the word. You will only say what God says. And if you slip up and say something bad, that's not the end of the world. Just immediately pray for crop failure. Words are like seeds, and they're right. No, no. Okay, crop failure. We're back to the other. I got to quit. All right, did you get anything out of that? I hope you did. Praise God. Step one is our words as he deals with disobedience and hypocrisies.